I feel the love and I feel the welcome. Thank you, Covenant Grove, for being such a loving church and a hospital church. I think I received so many welcomes to Covenant Grove this morning. So I just want to start by saying a word of thank you for your pastor and for the leaders for inviting me today. My name is Phil Nesta, and I'm director of Latino Ministries for our Pacific Southwest Conference. And I oversee about 40 to 45 churches in our conference, Latino churches, Spanish-speaking churches. And I also pastor a church in Stockton, California with my wife, my lovely wife, Juana Nesta. And she wanted to be here because she knows a couple of members from Covenant Grove. But she's actually preaching over there, so she couldn't come, so she sends her regards. And I also want to say that we love your pastor. I'm sure just like you do. He is a great guy. We've served in a couple of committees and mainly in the settings of church planning training because he has a lot to give. I'm married to Juana Nesta and we have three kids, Hannah, Naomi, and Victoria. I want to start. I know that you guys are in a sermon series called Teach Us to Pray. And the phrase that we're going to be talking about today is our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And I want to start by sharing a story, something that happened years back when my middle daughter, Hannah, which is now in college at Cal Poly, when she was about 7 years old, she was really she had a face, you know, one of those cute faces, and she was really bubbly. She came to the living room where I was at. I was thumbing through the TV, and she sat right next to me, and she cuddled right next to me, and she looked at me with those Google eyes, and she said, "Dad, you know I love you, right?" And I said, "Yeah, I know you love me, but thank you for telling me." She said, "Well, I also want to tell you that you are the best dad on the face of the planet." I'm like, wow. I didn't know that. I know you felt like that for me. And she said, "Yeah, you're a great dad." And then I said, "Well, thank you. Thank you for telling me." And then she said, "And Dad, you know, I've been going to school, and you know I'm a responsible kid, right?" And I said, "Yes, Hannah, you're very responsible with your homework. And thank you for doing that. Keep it up." And she said, "And you know that, I do my chores. I clean the house. And sometimes I take out the garbage for you. That's your responsibility. But sometimes I do that for you. And I haven't told Mom, but sometimes I do that for you." And I said, "Thank you, Hannah. Yeah, you're really helpful and you're really responsible." And she said, "And I was thinking, because, you know, most of my friends have pets. And I don't have a pet, Dad. And some of my friends have really beautiful, nice little puppies. And I don't have a puppy." And she said, "And I think I need a puppy. I think I really need a puppy." And I said, "Oh, really? Why do you think you need a puppy?" And so she breaks out and she gives a good discourse and a convincing argument of why she needs a puppy. And she broke my heart. And she said, "And Dad, do you think you can get me a puppy?" And we've never had a dog growing up. We're not a dog-loving parents, both me and my wife. But her request and the way she approached me just sold me. And so I said, "If you're responsible and we get them trained, yes, you can have a puppy." And I said, "Lord, you know, don't make any puppies available." And guess what happened? Like the week later, somebody called and said, "Oh, my dog just had puppies. Would you like one?" And then they told her, and she said, of course, we've been praying for one. So we got a puppy, and she named him Max. Oh, stop it. You're going to make me look bad. Yeah, and so, you know, the rest is history. But I love the sermon series that you guys are on, Teach Us to Pray. And this the passage that we're going to talk about is actually in Matthew chapter 6. And if we can read it really quick, chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. And the phrase that we're concentrating on is Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. We're going to break up that phrase and talk about, pair up a couple of words and then just focus on one word. But we're going to talk about that in detail because I think it's important. And your pastor explained, because I've seen the messages that he presented, is this is the ingredients to pray to God. And so if you look at some of the things that he shared, but I think there's the format here that is worth noting. First, in this model of a prayer that Jesus gave his disciples, it establishes relationship. Just like my daughter Hannah, Dad. And that right there, to any parent, to any father, melts our hearts. So when you approach your Heavenly Father and you say, Father in heaven, you're establishing relationship. You're reminding God that you are a son or daughter of the living God. Second, praise and worship. Holy is your name. Hallowed be thy name. You're praising him. You're honoring him. And then third, your willingness to submit to God's will. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then the phrase that we're going to be talking about is that now you are ready to present your needs to God. Give us today our daily bread. So let's break this up into pieces. So first of all, before we talk about this, it's important to note that this prayer or this model of prayer is found on the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is chapters 5 through 7, where Jesus talks about things that he wanted to teach his disciples, like the Beatitudes. There's a lot of how-tos in the Sermon of the Mount. There's like how to fast effectively, how to pray effectively. And so we find this model of prayer on the Sermon of the Mount. And the first thing that I would like to note in this phrase is the word bread. So what is bread? Bread was a staple for the Jews. It was something that they ate regularly. But the reason why Jesus is specifically choosing this phrase is because it's a reminder and it's an echo of a passage in the Old Testament. The passage in Exodus, when the Israelites were coming out of bondage and they were walking through the desert. And you know, you remember the Israelites? They were a bunch of complainers. They complained about not having water. They complained about not having food. I mean, they complained about everything under the sun. But the Lord was good to them, and he was their provider. He was Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. He was their provider. So bread is something that we need. So it's a metaphor for our physical sustenance. And it was a staple for them that they ate regularly. Can you imagine about 1.5 million people in the desert? There was no system available to them to feed every single person among them. So God provided a system of provision, and he gave them something that is called manna. And it literally means, what is this? Like, they've never seen this before. And the Bible describes this as coriander, some like bread that is sweet. And I like that part because in our Latino culture, we have something that's called pan dulce. Okay, you guys don't know what that is, but Google it. Stay away from it because it has a lot of sugar. And it's this, these breads, some of them are conchitas, and it's covered, I mean, covered with sugar. Oh, but it's so good. So he gives them manna, and it's like this sweet bread. It's almost like angel food to them. And this is their sustenance in the desert to let them know that God was their provider. Amen. If I was to make a Latino version of the Bible, I would say, give us our daily tortilla. Okay, you know that part, right? It's in tacos. Because tortilla is a main staple for a lot of Latinos, especially from Mexican descent. But you get the point, right? So this bread is the physical sustenance, and this is something that they need physically. But the food physical, our physical food, is only a reminder that we also have an appetite, our spiritual appetite. And that's why we fast. We fast so that we can recognize that just like when we feel that hunger pain, it's a reminder that our spiritual person needs to be fed as well. So, so when we pray, give us this bread, we're reminding God that he is our ultimate provider, that our utmost dependence is on him. Because sometimes we forget, or sometimes we can fool ourselves that we provide for ourselves. And Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 17 through 18 reminds us not to fall into this pattern of like, yeah, I've done this. I've picked myself on my bootstraps, and now I don't need God or other things. But this is a reminder to us. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Friends, we are blessed in this country. Amen. We are blessed beyond belief. If you were to compare United States with other countries, I mean, just look at, our cost of living, for example. We spent about, on average, $19 a day to feed ourselves. And that includes, groceries or eating out. $19 a day. Compared to half of the world that spends 50 cents per day. We're blessed. Amen. We have a God that provides for us. We have a God that sustains us physically because he gives us our daily bread. Amen. But never forget that we're also spiritual. And the need that we have for physical food should be the same need that we have for our spiritual food. Jesus Christ makes this emphasis in the New Testament as he tells his disciples that there is a food that he ate that they know nothing about. Jesus Christ was referring to the spiritual food, and it was doing the will of God, and it was having his devotional time with God the Father that fed his soul, that fed his spirit. So when we ask for the physical sustenance on a daily basis, we should be reminded that there is a soul that needs to be fed, that there's a spirit that needs to be fed. Amen. The second part is give us. This is a request for us on our part that puts us in a humble state. And sometimes we don't like to be in that state. We like to be on top, and that's what our culture teaches, right? To be on top. But this is a reminder that we are dependent on God, and that we should be asking Him, the source, the provider, for our sustenance. So, so when we ask for God to give us, we are depending on Him for His provision. This is counterculture to what our culture teaches. We want to be independent, or be the ones that provide for ourselves. But when we are reminded that God owns everything, even our lives, then we need to come to Him and ask Him. Because just like that, we can lose the ability to provide for ourselves. So it is God that helps us and feeds us on a daily basis. Amen. Notice that in those two words, give us, there's the word us. And us is plural. Sometimes when we read this passage, or even when we pray this passage, we're thinking that it's for me, us. And we don't realize that it's a prayer for our community. It's a plural. We're asking not only for my needs, but we're asking for everybody's needs. So Western culture encourages us to think of ourselves, my four and no more. But this prayer is actually going beyond that. It's actually not only, how can you pray for your own needs, but not look at the needs of your brother and sister? I love the passage in the book of Acts, where God is creating a revival in their midst, and He's adding to their number, and people are getting saved. And there's a part in the scripture that says, and there was no need. Because they were living this out. They were incarnating this prayer. Not only was God supplying their need, but they were making sure that everybody's needs were being met. And so this is a reminder for us, the body of Christ, not only to pray for our needs, but to pray for everybody's needs, the needs of our community, the needs of our world. Amen? And so the last part is daily. Now, I thought about this word, and I think it's important to note. Because in the Old Testament, if we look at the example of the Israelites, where they were given the system of how to get their food, this manna, they were told that they were supposed to go out every day and get a day's portion. But sometimes greed kicked in, and they would get more than that, and it would spoil. It had a shelf life. This manna had a shelf life of one day. So, you know, on the label, it said expires literally in one day. So they weren't allowed to keep it unless it was the day before the Sabbath, and then they got two portions. But I would ask myself, well, why were those individuals getting, if they knew that it was going to expire, why were they getting more than their share? I think there's something in our culture called greed. That motivates us to store more than what we need. And it's important to be a good steward of everything that you have. But it's also important to notice the needs of others, right? There's also something that we need to note in this word, daily. It's a dependence on God on a daily basis. Because if we know that we have enough for 2 days, 3 days, 1 month, then what's to say we're going to come to God and say, thank you, Lord, for our daily portion. It's a reminder that God provides on a daily basis, and that we need to depend on Him on a daily basis. Amen. Listen to this story, and it's a true story. There's this organization that does orphanages overseas. And they mainly go into places where kids have been that are orphans because their parents have died due to war. So like in the Korean War and the Vietnam War. And these kids are so traumatized and so scared that they're not able to go to sleep. And the reason why they're not able to go to sleep since then, because now they're thinking, well, now I don't have my parents. What am I going to eat tomorrow? They were literally thinking and worrying about tomorrow and about their sustenance for the following day. So what would the workers do in orphanages like this? They would give them a piece of bread and put it in their hands. And literally by having that bread in their hands, they were able to go to sleep. I wonder, church, by the abundance of blessing that God has blessed us, if we can be those agents that put bread on kids that are starving in their hands so that they can be assured that they have a Heavenly Father that provides for them. Amen. And this is the Lord's Prayer. And this passage, I love this passage because it's a passage that reminds me that I need to depend on God, not only for my physical sustenance, but for my spiritual sustenance. And I need to come to Him on a daily basis for that sustenance. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together and conclude in that passion. So let's just read that. Verse 9 through 13. So this is how you should pray. Read with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, Lord. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are the bread of heaven that came to humanity. We know that you provide for our daily needs. We know that you provide for our physical needs, but you also provide for our spiritual needs. I pray, Lord, that we would come to you on a daily basis and recognize that you are a provider. In Jesus' name, amen.